You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Our focal passage tonight is John 1, 29 through 34, if you want to turn there in your Bibles or you can follow along on the screen. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'"
Good evening. Thanks so much for spending your evening with us. Christmas is all about Jesus. We've probably heard that before, and you may have said that before. And of course, we don't mean that like December 25th is the day that Jesus was born, or maybe he was born in the summer, maybe he was born in the winter, and that's not what we mean. What we mean is this season is a time for us to look and readjust our eyes upon Jesus. But if we're honest, sometimes those words, "it's all about Jesus," can feel a little distant, like a nice sentiment, but what does it really mean for everything, and certainly Christmas, to be all about Jesus? What does baby Jesus have to do with the mission and the plans of God, and even with our own lives? The birth of Jesus is really important. We sang about it a bit tonight. The miraculous nature of the birth of Jesus, that he was born of a virgin, that he was long awaited, and lots of other things that surrounded his birth make it unique. And what we find out is that miraculous nature of his birth, it shows us that he was the one, that he was the Savior to come, that he was the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, before he did a single thing. When he was in his mother's womb, light shone upon him, and through him, he was the one. But the importance of his birth is important because of who he is and ultimately what he came to do. It is difficult to comprehend the fullness of God. It's difficult to get our minds around. There are so many questions. There's no real analogy to compare to the fullness of God. Every other person or every other power has a comparison. If someone's really strong, we might say they were like as strong as the Incredible Hulk. If someone is really smart, we might say, man, they're like as smart as Einstein. If they're creative, they might be like Van Gogh. But there is no comparison to the power of Jesus, his understanding, his work, his essence, his love, his mercy, his grace, his righteousness, his goodness. He has no beginning and he has no end. None can stand against him. None can comprehend him fully. And yet, not only is he incomprehensible, but he has made himself known. And he did that through his life for those who lived when Jesus roamed the earth like a fellow human. For those who walked with him, he made himself known to them. And through his teaching and through his miracles and through the life that he lived, he made himself known to those who walked with him. And for us, we can look around the room and we don't see Jesus in the flesh. For us, he made himself known through his word. Jesus is the exact imprint of the full nature of God. That's what this word tells us. And not only known, but Jesus came to earth and he dwelt among us. He lived with us. The word says he basically like built a tent among his people. That's what he did when he was with us. He took up residence as the greatest missionary the world has ever known. He didn't just come to hang out. He didn't just come for a good time. He didn't come because he needed us. He has no need within himself, but he came as a missionary. He came on purpose. He came on mission. In this passage that you see here, you might think this isn't very Christmassy, but it's found in John chapter 1. And so there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They kind of kick off the New Testament. And it's in those four books where we see the majority of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But John's gospel is quite different. We're 20-something verses in, and we already see the full man Jesus. We don't see baby Jesus in John's gospel. We see him come, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he, like, you know, blinks, and then he's like showing us this scene here with John the Baptist. And so where this picks up, there's the Old Testament. God created everything, and sin came into the world. And then all of the rest of the Old Testament is how God's people find their way back home to this loving God. There's promise and there's hope. And then we see John chapter 1, and we see him introduce us to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is someone who's pointing to God. And he has disciples following him, and he tells his followers, his students, behold, look, the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Like, he sees Jesus, the one that they've been hoping for, the one that they've been longing for, the one that he's been telling his students about. Look, that's the one. It's the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. And that can sound weird. What is the Lamb of God? Why does it say that? But if you know anything about God's plan for us to be made right, there has to be sacrifice. There has to be the shedding of blood. That's from the very beginning. And so all of the Old Testament is setting up this idea that there is a sacrifice that will make us right once again with God. And so John says, look, this is the one. This is Jesus. I'm on this guy's mission. This is what we've been doing. He's like no other. You follow me, but he's the realest deal there is. I can't hold a candle to him. I can't lace his boots. I can't even put his Crocs in sport mode, he probably would have said, right? I don't know him, but I'm about his work. He is from God, and he will send the Spirit. He comes before me, and he will remain after me. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and heard, this is the Son of God. What does that mean for us? For all the complexity of Jesus, we might be able to boil him down like this. He is uniquely God, and he is fully man. He is the only go-between who can remove the sin of the world because he came and he dwelt among us like us. The incarnation is that he put on flesh. He was a human, fully human like us, and yet he was fully God. He had no sin within him. He earned no debt to God, no debt to pay like every one of us have by our sin. And from the beginning, it was this way. Sin brings death. All sin and fall short of the glory of God, therefore all die. And what that means is, you know, you might say, well, I'm not dead. Like, look at me. But the reality is we will face a physical death, and ultimately for all who walk in sin, every one of us, we will face a spiritual death, separation from God and his glory and his goodness and his mercy and his grace. So this meets us in two places. And maybe there's a spectrum. But there are two types of us. The one who says, I'm too good, there is no way. And the other says, I'm too bad, there is no way. One says, I'm not Hitler. I mean, I'm good, right? Like, why do I need this? Why do I even need a savior? And the other says, you don't know what I've done. You have no idea the life that I've lived. There's just no way. Some might say, I have no need for a savior because I live my life honorably, respectably, morally. I'm like a good guy or I'm a good woman. And the other side of that, you might say, not only do I have need of a savior, but there is no hope. There is no Savior that can save me from the life that I've lived. How could God judge me? I don't deserve that. Or how could God love me? I don't deserve that. And maybe you find yourself kind of drawn towards one place or the other. Maybe that's a spectrum. Or maybe you're in the middle somewhere. Former Miss Hallmark herself, Candace Cameron, a.k.a. DJ Tanner, she helps us understand a bit, right? I heard her in an interview not long ago, and she said, like, I've always been good. She's like, I'm like a decent human, right? And she said, I heard this analogy, and I think it's helpful. She said there was this little girl, and she was watching sheep eat grass. And she just looked at how white the sheep was against the green grass. Then it began to snow, and she thought, how dirty that sheep was against the snow. It was the same sheep, it was only against a different background. Maybe you've seen those like optical illusions and they'll have like two circles and they'll have like a different gradient behind it and they'll be like, guess what? These are the same color. And you're like, no. And then they like move them together and you're like, how can that be? Right? The circles aren't changing color. They're not different, but they look different. When you look at them, one looks white, one looks black, and then it's like, oh, they're both gray. Who knew? Right? That's what we do with our lives. And we compare ourselves to someone that's not quite white, not righteous like Jesus for sure, and we say, I'm doing okay. So she goes on, she says, when we compare our sin to the color of the world, we may be reasonably clean. But when we compare ourselves to the snow-white righteousness of God, we see that we are in fact filthy, dirty. And she said, for the first time, I made this connection that it's not just like, hey, everyone's a sinner or whatever. She said, I'm a sinner. I have sin within me and sin that comes through me. And that's when the good news of the gospel of Jesus made sense to me for the first time. It became real to me that God is this merciful, loving God who was on mission. He came as a baby, sacrificed himself, died on behalf of all who would believe so we might be made white, so that we might be called right, so that we once again can be brought back to being good with God. We all sin, and sin brings death, but God, he sets up from the beginning a currency exchange where sacrifice could be made in the place of a person for sin. And in all of the Old Testament, it was temporary. It was once temporarily or one time of the year for all of Israel, and that they might be made right through lambs and through the blood of other animals that were sacrificed. But what Jesus is saying, you don't need that temple. I am the temple, and I am the lamb who is slain. All of that and all of the righteousness that we try to earn through the law, it couldn't happen. I am the one that can finally deliver. Jesus cleanses his people from their sins, and this is the greatest Christmas gift of all. So what John does is he connects the reality of every sacrifice for temporary relief to appease God, to make things right between the sinner and God. He connects it to the Son of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Baby born to die, to save, to make us clean. And just as sheep cover us with clothing made of wool, Christ's blood cleanses and covers us with the righteousness of God so that we might once again be acceptable to him, that we might be drawn back into his family. So we kind of learn two things from that. One, the removal of sin began in eternity past. Verse 30 says it this way. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Right? It doesn't matter how old John is. Jesus has always been. What this means is this story is bigger than John the Baptist. It's bigger than John the Apostle, the one that's writing this. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than all the stories. It is the one story that every other story fits into. This is not God merely responding to our sin. This is not God coming up with a plan to appease his justice, like, oh my gosh, they messed it up. What am I going to do? This is not him finding a way for humanity to once again be called righteous so that he might once again be their God and we might be his people. This was always God's plan. From the very first sin to the very first sacrifice to baby Jesus to Jesus on the cross, all the way to you, to me, to us, you are part of that plan, and your story is part of this story, the story of God. And the second thing, it leads us into this. The removal of sin continues on to this very day. See, this isn't just some theory or words on a page. These things that I'm saying are not just some theological truth void of implication or application. This means that you can be cleansed from your sin no matter what you've done, no matter the life that you have lived. This means that God is for you in Jesus. He has made us clean by God, through God, for God. So the next day, they're walking around in the same region, and they see Jesus once again. And you know they're like, hey, like that's him. Like, you know, he's a big deal. He's becoming a big deal. They recognize who he is. And so they're kind of lurking around, and he goes up to him, and he says, hey, like, what are you looking for? He's like, can I help you with something? And they say, where are you staying? And he says, follow me. And he begins to call his disciples to him. And he started with 12, and that grew to 120 by the time he left the earth. And we carry that all the way down. Every one of these people who turned from their sin, turned to Jesus, made them right with God. And he says, follow me. And he shows us how to do this in his book, with his people, by his Spirit. The only hope we have is that God sent a baby, Jesus, who willingly came, born of a virgin, who grew up to live among his people, who was sinless in every way, the sinless lamb, white as snow, took away the sins of the world. The whitest lamb who ever was soaked in his own blood to make the dirtiest of the dirty, even us, even you, even me, dripping in the darkness of our own sin, white as the Son of God. So the invitation for us is that we would behold Jesus, who takes away not only the sin of the world, but yours and mine, for all who turn, for all who believe, for all who behold, for all who set our eyes upon him, and for all who follow him. John the Baptist, he knew who he was looking at, and he paved the way. He paved the way for us to meet Jesus when he came the first time, and he invites us, all who believe, to continue to pave the way for others to meet him when he returns. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your grace in the way that you make yourself known to us through your word, through your people. God, would you show us where we fit in your story? Would you let us know that no matter who we thought we were coming into this place, that we can be made clean, not by our good deeds, not by the works of our own hands, but by you and you alone. Thank you for your grace and your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.